written by Celia N. Ellison, narrated by Dana Whitfield, first recorded 2025, and now, The House That Breathes at Night, prologue. You think she can hear us? The voice came from above, muffled through 12 inches of pine and the iron ring of the cellar door. Eleanor didn't answer, couldn't. The gag bit into the corners of her mouth, coarse rope threaded between her teeth, and her arms ached where Silas had cinched them behind the support beam. She's not a dog, Arthur. That was Silas. Calm. The same voice he used to butter his toast at breakfast to compliment Mrs. Missel. Holloway's rhubarb pie at the church social. Lock the cellar, Eleanor, for your own good. The baby's restless. The baby was restless. A kick rolled against her ribs, sharp and insistent, and she pressed her bound hands flat against her belly through the fabric of her nightgown. Soon, she told it. Soon we'll be out. He let us out. Above her, footsteps crossed the kitchen floor, the scrape of a chair being dragged. Then the cellar door groaned, and a sliver of kerosene light cut across the top three steps. Silas's silhouette filled the gap. Long coat, hat still on because he never removed his hat indoors. She could see his jaw working, chewing something, the last of his dinner maybe, or a piece of the peppermint he favored after meals. I'll be back before midnight, he said. Not to her, to Arthur, who stood somewhere behind him. The foundation needs 3 more hours to set, if I'm wrong about the timing. You're never wrong about the timing. Arthur's voice was younger, nervous, the kind of voice that cracked on the wrong syllable. You said so yourself. 18 cycles since the last sealing. The wood's taken the salt. It's ready. The wood's part of it. Silas's head turned, and even in shadow, even with the gag cutting off her air, Eleanor felt the weight of his stillness. That reptilian calm. The house must breathe before it can hold. You understand the difference, don't you? A pause. Arthur must have nodded. Good. Then watch the eastern ward. If the plaster cracks, come find me at the church. The cellar door swung shut. The lock clicked. That heavy iron bolt she'd heard him install 3 days ago, the one he tested in front of her, showing her how it worked, explaining the mechanism like she was a child who needed a lesson. It's for the baby's safety, Eleanor. You'll thank me. The footsteps receded. The kitchen went quiet. She waited until the front door slammed before she started working her wrists against the rope. The beam was rough-hewn oak, the same oak that framed every doorway in this house that Silas had spent the summer of 23 importing from Maine because local timber wouldn't hold the pattern. She thought he meant the crown molding, the newel posts, all the things a husband tells his wife while he's building something she isn't meant to understand. The rope bit, hot, wet, she kept going. Her fingers found the edge of her left palm, that old scar, the one she'd gotten at 12 falling off a hay cart, the one Silas had traced in the dark on their wedding night and called a mark of character. It burned now, a throb she could feel all the way up to her shoulder, and she pressed her thumb into it until the pain sharpened her focus. The diary entry was 5 inches below her right hand. She'd scratched it into the floorboard yesterday morning before Silas had taken her shoes and her coat and the last of the candles. A single sentence, carved with the bent nail she'd pried from the wall's baseboard, her fingernails splitting as she worked. It breathes at 9. He made it breathe. Forgive me, child. She'd meant it as a record. Evidence. Something for the constable to find when this was over. When Silas's experiment failed and she walked out of this cellar with her daughter in her arms, now she wasn't sure who she'd written it for. The rope gave, not completely, just enough to slip her left hand free, the skin raw and glistening in the dim light that bled through the gap beneath the cellar door. She worked the knot on her right wrist with bleeding fingers, counting her breaths, timing them against the silence. 1, 2, 3. The house was quiet, normal quiet. The kind of quiet she'd known for 15 months of marriage, the creaks and groans of old wood settling, the scuttle of mice in the walls, the distant crash of the Atlantic against the cliffs below Port Mercy. She pulled the gag down, swallowed. Her throat tasted of salt and cotton. Okay, she whispered, her voice a rasp she barely recognized. Okay, we're okay. The baby kicked again, stronger this time, a foot or a knee pressing hard against her diaphragm, and she doubled over, one hand braced on the floor, the other pressed to her stomach. Not yet. Not yet. She had to get upstairs, had to find the key, or break the lock, or... The house inhaled. She felt it in her chest first. That drop in pressure, like the moment before storm breaks, the